Good morning, and happy Father's Day. As some of you know, I am Father Nick, or as I've been told, Father Nick 2.0. That's an upgrade, remember that, so. When I see Father Nick Thompson, I'll make sure to let him know. He set me up for that, so. I grew up in Delta, Colorado, which is on the western slope. It's about 40 miles south of Grand Junction. So if you know where Grand Junction is, it's right in that area. And I heard the call to be a priest from a very young age. And so right out of high school, I joined seminary, and I've spent the last 10 years in formation for the priesthood. So let me tell you, it's really good to finally be at the altar and to stand before all of you. The church today celebrates the Feast of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Christ. And the reason why we have this feast is to prolong our celebration that we began on the evening when we celebrated the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday. If you remember, we celebrated the washing of the feet, the institution of the priesthood, and the institution of the Eucharist that night. But our adoration of the Lord's body and blood got cut short because quickly we were drawn into the shadow of the cross on Good Friday. And so the church wants us to have a day where we, with great joy, ponder the richness of his love for us that he has given us in his body and blood, the sacrament of God's love for us, where Christ truly dwells and is really present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Fulton Sheen said, "The greatest romance and the greatest miracle can be found in that tiny white host. Because there the God of heaven and of glory, our Creator and Redeemer, dwells with us." So what a wondrous gift we have of God's love, that he remains with us. Do you remember just before Ascension Thursday, we heard the gospel where Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphan." Those are such consoling words. I will not leave you orphan. And oh, he has not. He left us his real presence in the Eucharist to be with us until the end of time. Charles Williams, who was a friend of J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, wrote that the master idea of Christianity, the overarching principle, what makes it tick, is mutual indwelling. What did he mean by that? That the very heart of Christianity is mutual indwelling. Well, for one, we live in an age where people often reduce Christianity and religion to a set of rules and regulations and commandments. And true, commandments are important. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that they're not. We have the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave us. We have the six precepts of the church. And we should follow those. But commandments are not what animate us and give us kind of, they're not the heart and center of our faith, right? The heart and center of our faith is Jesus Christ. It's mutual indwelling. Christianity and Catholicism is about mutual indwelling, that God dwells inside of us and he's brought us to dwell inside of him. What a profound mystery. Now, where did all of this begin? It began for all of us on the day of our baptism. when you and I were baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we became temples of the Trinity. Do you ever stop and ponder as you're driving down I-25 or Arapaho Road in traffic and you're just really frustrated? Oh, I'm a temple of God. Wow. That'll take your mind off of the frustration and wanting to give your neighbor the bird. Maybe it'll make you make the sign of the cross instead. But this reality of mutual indwelling reaches its summit, its high point for all of us in the gift of the Mass, in the Eucharist, which the Church celebrates today. Why? Because in baptism, we were filled with the life of God and made members of His family. What does it mean to be part of a family? It means to share the flesh and blood of our kin. And what does God do for us after He's initiated us as His adopted children? He feeds us with the flesh and blood of His Son. He gives us the full dignity of being members of His royal household. Part of the dignity that you and I have as human beings is that God does not need us. He doesn't. He doesn't need a single one of us. But what's so profound is that He desired us and He wants us, and that's why He created us. He doesn't need us. It's out of pure love that He brought us into existence, to be with Him for all eternity. And you and I have a foretaste of that every time together as the Church we come forward to receive His body and blood. But the Eucharist is not only a sacrament that makes present His body and blood, it's also a sacrifice. Did you know that every time you come to Mass, you enter through a time portal and you are brought back to the Triduum that we celebrated on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday? Because in every Mass, the sacrifice of Calvary is made present to us again through the priest. Do you ever wonder? We have an altar. I'm called a priest. What do you do on an altar? Sacrifice, right? That's what an altar is. It's this place of sacrifice. What does a priest do? A priest offers sacrifice. Because the Eucharist is a sacrifice. The sacrifice of the cross is made present to you and I. One of the things that really helped me understand this in my own life was during the Eucharistic prayer, I began to close my eyes and to meditate in my mind on the Passion of Jesus, to imagine Him there on the cross, bleeding, and to see that He's doing that out of love for me. You see, if you begin to do that, you'll realize, sure, in your mind you're imagining that, but that's helping you understand in reality what's taking place here in our very midst. But not only is the Passion of Jesus made present, His resurrection is made present. When you and I receive His body and blood, we receive His glorified, risen flesh. That's why the Church gathers on Sunday. The day of His resurrection is the day that you and I come together to solemnly celebrate Eucharist. And our Lord in the Gospel today gives us the first hints of this. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Because you know, at the end of time, when the world comes to an end, and we profess this every week at the end of our creed, that we will be raised from the dead, body and soul. And so Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist not only to nourish our souls, but yes, even our bodies. What happens with food? When we consume food, it's transformed into us, right? That's basic biology. St. Augustine so beautifully said, when we receive the Eucharist, it's different though. Because always the greater thing takes in the lesser thing. So you can tell I've had a lot of beer and hamburgers. But what we take in shapes the person that we become. In the Eucharist, because God is greater, we're brought into Him and become members of His body. And even our flesh is made holy through the reception of the Eucharist. So throughout the week, I invite you to ponder this great mystery of God's love for us. And I also invite you to consider the question whether Jesus is inviting you to spend more time with Him in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, to spend an hour a week in our Eucharistic Adoration Chapel with Him, to contemplate the face of Christ there in the Eucharist, and to experience that gaze of love that He has for you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was praying, He came back and He looked at His disciples who had fallen asleep, and He said, "Can you not but watch 1 hour with me?" Could you imagine the intensity, the longing in His voice as He looked at Peter, James, and John and said that, "Can you but watch 1 hour with me?" It wasn't, when He said that, Him trying to guilt them to say, "Shame on you. That's all I asked you to do and you couldn't do it." Jesus wasn't doing that. It was Him manifesting a longing in His heart for His disciples to just be with Him. He didn't care what they were doing. He just wanted them with Him. And that's what the Lord desires for all of us. And when we come to Mass and when we spend time in Eucharistic adoration, that's the best act of love that we can give Him, to simply be with Him.